Hey mama, I want to invite you to something. I am hosting a free anger management bootcamp on the podcast May 6th through the 10th. Monday through Friday, there will be a new episode released teaching you where anger comes from and what goes on in your brain when you feel intense feelings, how to lower your stress and increase capacity levels as a mom, how to shift your mindset to align your actions with the mom that you want to be, and how to break generational anger patterns. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a day and sign up using the link in the show notes so you can get access to the episodes as soon as they drop and an email summary of the daily trainings, as well as access to a live Q&A call on the last day of the bootcamp. Invite one or three of your mama friends so they can learn how to manage their emotions well too. Link to sign up is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you in there. Let's get back into this podcast episode.
Do you feel like you're failing in motherhood? One of the biggest reasons you feel like a failure is because you believe that you need to do it all. This is just a limiting thought that is creating so much stress in your life. It's holding you back from having peace and calm in your day. What if there was an actual way to let that go and create the freedom in your schedule for me time guilt-free? And even more importantly, what if you showed up most days for your family feeling grounded, calm, patient, and present? How quickly would your family notice the energy shift? How amazing would it feel not to be in an overreactive hot mess? How differently would your home feel with more peace and calm? Imagine your days starting with some alone time and your kids giving you that space. Imagine how quickly your patience would increase if you had daily time to feel restored. This can be your new reality when you transform your way of thinking and change some old ways that are not serving you, which is exactly what I teach in my one-on-one coaching program. I help you ditch your negative mindset so you can daily create alone time to feel restored guilt-free, have healthy boundaries with your family, ask for support without feeling like a failure, model to your kids emotional regulation, process and release negative energy in a helpful way, and calm your nervous system to create more calm. If you are ready to stop feeling miserable and start feeling supported and restored and have the emotional capacity to support your kids when they're struggling, then send me a DM or an email with the word coaching to get started, or book a sales call with the link below. Hey mama, before I play this episode, I want you to know that this is a coaching session I had with someone, and it's a mama who has two kids, and we talked about things that are feeling heavy and overwhelming for her. I offered her some mindset shifts and practical tools that she can implement today to make things easier and lighter for her. This is so you can kind of see and feel the way I do my coaching and how I can actually support you as well. Anyways, I hope you enjoy this.
Hi friends. I have a mama here today and I will be coaching her. And so you get to get a little chance to see how my coaching call goes with mamas that I help out. So I would love for you to kind of like introduce yourself a little bit. Tell me a little bit about what's going on in your life and then like how many kids you have, just what your day-to-day looks like, and then we'll go from there.
Yep. Well, I have two little ones. I have a little boy named Asher. He is 5 and a half. And then I have a little girl and her, she just turned 4 in May. Okay. So that's been a journey figuring out how to be a mom, struggling through realizing that there is a lot of stored stuff from childhood that has come up being a mom. And I was even talking with a sibling yesterday about like, you just don't realize what's in there and what you're capable of until you have your kids. The frustration, the sadness, the anger, the disappointment. I think it really started to come out a lot after my son was born. And I just realized like how many unresolved things I had from growing up in the home that I did within my family of origin. So it's been a journey. Particularly over the last 2 years, I feel like we've pressed in a whole new way. I think our parenting style really shifted a couple of years ago. with our son Asher. It was a lot more authoritarian. We're transitioning into more authoritative parenting, and just connected parenting. We're really trying to learn him and learn my little girl and show up for them and understand their needs, which has also just been a lot of going back to go forward.
Yes, lots of like unlearning automatic patterns of doing things one way. I can so relate with that because that's how I got on this journey. I went to counseling and I was introduced to gentle parenting, and I really struggled in the beginning at first because I didn't have my needs met, and it was really hard to meet my kids' needs. Yeah. So what would you say is like one of the biggest things that you noticed that kind of like a day-to-day struggle that, not necessarily with I'd say maybe parenting, but like more like you on your, like in yourself, like what is your biggest struggle?
Ooh, I think right now today, the biggest thing that I've been working with is shame and like what role shame plays in my life. And because of the role that it plays and because of my relationship with it, especially growing up in the church, how that influences who I am, what I believe about myself, and then how that impacts the world around me, specifically the closest people to me. And how it speaks through me and how it comes out and moves out of me. So that's been a very interesting one to navigate just because of my upbringing, my family of origin, my beliefs about myself.
Can we like quickly touch on that just so it give me a little bit more an idea? What kind of background do you have? Because I grew up in a conservative Baptist background. Right. And that's like my origin. And it was also very like authoritative, like you just follow the rules, you do what you're told, you don't really question it. It was very rule-based.
Yes. Yeah. So I would say both of my parents were products of Christian universities, which I'm not saying that's, I'm saying that as like a stick a pin in location point, not as a judgment point. So that was their, that's kind of their framework. They were missionaries overseas. And I think, I mean, we grew up non-denominational, like evangelical Christians in the Midwest. And I still think a lot of, so I think a lot of my childhood and a lot of my issues too that I'm dealing with now. So this would be point two on the, like, what are you really wrestling with? Fear and anxiety. And I think they're very connected. I think shame, fear, and anxiety all speak to each other. I think that they are a result of brokenness in humanity and the evil in the world that we face every day. But all three of those things, fear, anxiety, and shame, I think were integrated into my life and worldview every day as a child coming from a Christian family that really highlighted like my depravity as a kid and my failures and my shortcomings and just generally believing about myself, you're not enough. You won't ever be enough. Like you just don't cut it. And so as a parent, that's like a pretty bitter reality to wake up to every day. Just, and I'm still like, it's a fight to believe something different. But I'm starting to realize like that is shame speaking. But then fear creeps in of like, oh my gosh, am I ever going to be? Like, am I ever going to get it? Is this ever going to click? Am I ever going to be what Ashley needs for me to be? Which we're desperate, like I'm trying to like practice attunement and connectedness and to not speak to him in a way that's shame inducing. To cultivate a safe space, to cultivate a gentle and loving space for him, to for him to know, regardless of what you do, I'm still going to love you.
I feel like for us who grew up in like a Christian community, there's like a whole nother level of dealing with like things like this. You know, there's like, you know, just traditional homes, non-Christian, but like there's a whole nother like level of all the spiritual things we were taught in the church. Like, for example, like you're saying, like, not enough. And it's like, well, God makes you enough, you know, with God, you're enough. And so then you have like that whole aspect and you're like, well, then I will never be enough. Mm-hmm. Right. Like then like whatever I do is never enough. And that.
Yeah. What is enough?
Yeah. What is enough? Yeah. What is then good enough? Right. Cause like, so here's the reality. So let's like kind of like unpack of that, because I have a lot of things that you're touching on. I'm like, yeah, oh my gosh, I relate so much with that. And I personally have a little bit like, I don't even know how to say it. Like, I still go to church. I still love God, but I feel like a lot of times in the conservative communities that most of us were raised in, that like a lot of moms in my community, there's things that are really over spiritualized and there isn't enough, like psychology was really looked down upon. And now like the doors are a little bit opening. And so like, for example, like one of the things that I teach my moms is like, sometimes it's not a spiritual problem. Sometimes you just need some sleep. Sometimes it's like literally not an anger issue. You're literally just so depleted. And this has nothing to do with you being a sinner. You're just exhausted. And we've been looked at it like, oh, you're sinful because you're just such a sinner because you're yelling at your kids. You're not patient. Well, I'm sorry. Like when somebody is sleep deprived and they're hungry, they're going to be impatient. Like, because that's an unmet need and it was over spiritualized. And then we feel that shame that we're not good enough, that we're these bad parents, that we keep failing, right? Like we're not succeeding. And on top of that, like feeling not a good enough parent, you're like, man, I'm failing as a Christian on top of that.
Well, yeah. And I think you're hitting the nail on the head with that. I think additionally in my home growing up, there was also, and I'm guessing you, because you grew up Southern Baptist, it seems, right? Southern Baptist or just Baptist?
Slavic, Russian, Slavic.
Okay.
Yes. So just conservative Baptist. Yes.
Yeah. There is an additional element too of, for me, of if you don't do this well enough, if you break the rules, if you fail, like you will be met with a consequence and you will be met with punishment. Like I kind of had this view and still wrestle with this view of, well, I really feel like God is releasing me from it and I'm finding something new and fresh, but grew up with the perspective of like, if I don't do the right thing at the right time in the way that I'm supposed to, what even is that? But the way that I'm supposed to, I'm going to be punished. Like I will experience God's wrath because he needs to bring me into line.
Yeah.
I look at the way that I parented my son when he was tiny. And that's like, I was always bringing him into line. Like I thought that was my job as a parent because that was my relationship with my parents. That was my relationship with my God growing up, of like this being that just continues to push you in to like where they want you to be and how they want you to be. And if you fall outside of that, you're met with shame, you're met with fear. And you're met with the anxiety of, am I like, what's going to happen? The unknown, the anxiety of the unknown.
What's the punishment? What's the next punishment? Because I screwed up.
Yeah. Even, and like, I know that I messed up and I know that I'm in a bit like, is it not enough for a child to know, like I messed up? I think in a lot of cases, it's enough for them to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like, so there's a lot of mindset. In this session, we're going to be talking about shifting our mindset and just like, so that belief and the way we were raised, you and I, very similar. Like I had to look at it and be like, is this how I want to live my life? No. What are these beliefs that are not serving me? And is that even true about God? There's so many more, like, I guess like books now and stuff coming out about like God's love and like, I'm learning a lot of these like old beliefs. There's so many churches that are shifting from that because that created so much damage. like mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, so much damage that was carried on for generations. And I feel like people turned away from God because of that. They're like, I never measure up. Why even bother? Why even try? Right? Like, it's just never going to be enough. And so I really had to like shift my mindset and be like, okay, I know this is hurtful. I know this is not really serving me. Like, we switched churches maybe 10 years ago to an American church that looked at things differently than the traditional church. I grew up in the Slavic Baptist. And like, I had to do a lot of unlearning. And even then it's like, well, does God want me to suffer because I'm a Christian? I'm supposed to suffer all the time, right? Because the Bible talks about suffering. And so there's a lot of like things that I had to like work through and be like, okay, this belief, is that even true? Like a father that truly loves their child, right? Like a lot of scripture, I feel like was misinterpreted in a very like, oh, you should punish your child with a rod, you know, like train a child, you know, like, yeah. And so like now that there's like more knowledge, people has like looked into more of that. Like I've just recently learned, I was watching a video and it's like direct and guide. And like, that's what it truly means instead of truly like physically punishing it. And so like, but then it was ingrained in us to do it one way. So I literally had to like, look at it and be like, okay, this is not the way I want to parent my kids. I want to show up as that loving and caring and kind and compassionate, but because like a father that truly loves his kids, he wants good for them, right? He's not going to stand there with a rod beating them. He's going to guide them. He's going to direct them. If they make a mistake, he's going to pick them up and be like, we made a mistake here. We messed up. How can we do this better next time? Like, that's the loving thing to do. And so like, I really had to shift my mindset, be like, okay, that is just not serving me. Okay. And so when moments like this happen, you say, I have a lot of shame and anxiety and fear. Like, so a lot of it is just going back and be like, okay, this is not serving me. Who do I really want to be? Like, I want to be that loving, compassionate, understanding, like safe, loving person, like that mom for my kids. All right. So how can I support myself to actually be that person? This is like my job where it comes in, because a lot of times, like when we are running on empty, right? It's a lot harder to be that mom we desire to be, right? When you're exhausted, when you're, you know, sleep deprived, when you're hungry, like it pushes your brain, it contributes to your brain to be more reactive in moments like that. And then that shame comes in. And so one of the things that has been really helpful for me is creating a mantra. Yeah. That when my negative thought comes in, that I'm like, nope, I'm not going to allow that. I create a mantra that I use to redirect my thoughts, right? Because it's our thoughts that will push us into more shame, into more anxiety, into more fear, right?
Right.
It's our thoughts that create that. It creates our feelings, and it creates like those emotions that like are really uncomfortable. So one of them, for example, is like when I feel like I messed up, and I mean, I'm not perfect too. Like I really like one of the coaches that I learned from. And she's like, you are allowed to make mistakes. You are human. We're all human. And you are allowed to make mistakes. And that is one of the affirmations I give my moms in my programs, is like, I am allowed to make mistakes. Yeah. It is okay. My kids do not need a perfect mom. Like, yes, we're made in the image of God, but we're not God. Right? We're like, we're still going to make mistakes. And so when we do make mistakes, just own them and apologize for them. And moving forward, be like, okay, what was not working this time? What can we do different? So there's a couple things. It's like having the belief and switching the mindset that I am human and I am allowed to make mistakes. It's okay for me to make mistakes. That already takes off so much pressure of like, oh, I have to be perfect. Okay. Yeah. Like, that is already like a big weight lifted. Then the other one is like, when you do make a mistake, like, what do you tell yourself? Let's say you raised your voice at your kids, right? Or you like maybe said, I mean, I raised my voice. I'm talking about like, there's a difference between raising your voice and like freaking out, losing your sorry, shit, and screaming it out. Like, there's a difference. I'm sorry. Like, there's a big difference. So let's
say we have both here.
Yes, we have both. Like, I've had both, you know, and still once in a while, like, I'll have my other moment, you know, very rare now because of all the work that I've done, but it still does happen, you know, and it's usually like, what is going on? Something's going on for me that it got me to that point. And so when that happens, my go-to phrases are like, because like, so here's what happens to me. Because I teach this, I feel like I have this extra pressure on myself to do things just so, because I'm like, well, I teach this. I should be maybe even above than maybe an average mom because I know all these things and I still mess up. So that is like my negative thought then that pushes me into guilt. But what I tell myself is like, I'm a good mom was having a hard day.
Yeah.
Right. Because like,
I think that's a really big one for me is like, I understand I can rupture something with Asher and I can repair it. It's going to happen. That's a part of life. There will be rupture. The choice that I'm making, that's different than the choice that my parents made, was to be able to come and to say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And no buts and no, and like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted that way. There's no excuse for what I did. And I'm sorry. And I think for me, it's the time after where I'm with myself going like, how am I still here? Like, how did this happen again? Or why did I do that again? Or whatever, like been on this journey. Have gotten to do therapy, care intimately about it, teach yoga, like love the mind body awareness, love like the intentionality, and still like find myself just getting so like worked up, failing, and then the guilt is really like feels like an unclimbable hill. Unclimbable mountain of like, I don't know how to get out, because I think a lot of it is looking at my mom and thinking like, I'm doing what was done to me. But that's also a lie, because I'm apologizing when I know that I do something and I mess up, to be able to come back and sit with my kids and be like, I'm sorry, which,
and that's already happen. Yes, and you're already breaking that generational cycle, and that's already huge. So here's one thing that I can help you a little bit. When I was going through counseling, maybe you already learned this, but so that was really helpful for me to understand why I was failing a lot in the beginning when I was switching into the gentle parenting and trying to do things differently and breaking generational cycles. So one of the things that she explained to me, she's like, we all have our automatic responses. Right. So when and it comes back from our childhood and the way we were raised. So let's say your kid disrespects you, your parents would be like, what did you just say? There's no way you can talk to me. Like, go to your room. Like, those are like ingrained into you. You don't have to think about it. It just comes out. Right. So when we are triggered, that creates a safety, unsafe response in our brain, and the part of our brain that helps us make the positive logical choice, the strategies that we've learned, shuts off. This is our thinking brain. It shuts off and we go into our emotional part of the brain, and that part of the brain is automatic, and it goes to those paths of our brain that have been ingrained. And that's why you react under like a stressful situation or a triggering situation in ways that you don't want to. You go to those automatic ways that are already ingrained. It's like these pathways that are in your brain that are just like you've stepped through for years.
My neurotransmitters are broken.
Yes. And now
they need to be fixed.
Yes. And so like now when you're doing things differently, breaking those cycles, you're literally creating like a brand new path in your brain. Right. Step by step. To respond positively and like to do the gentle parenting.
Yes.
And it's just, it takes, what did she say? She told me, it takes 500 to 1,000 times to do things intentionally in that new pathway in order for it to become your new automatic. Right. Isn't that crazy?
Like so many
times.
We've been on the road for a while, but.
No wonder, right? No wonder. And it makes so much sense why those like automatic patterns come out, especially when it's some sort of trigger, something that like triggers us, the kid's behavior, because they're like, we're at the park and our kid just like, I don't know, throws a toy at us and like hurts us or whatever. And like, you have this automatic look, what are people going to think about me? Like, you're like, I have to stop my child. I have to like hold them and be like, no, you can't do this. This is wrong. Because shame, like,
anger,
yes, embarrassment in front of others. And it's like all the inner talk, like, and you go back because it's such a threat to your brain. You go back to those automatic reactions and
it is more about
what are people going to think about me?
Yourself than it is about your kid. Oftentimes, like even my son, he has a ton of aggression. He's gotten some diagnosis stuff recently that's been challenging to move through. He's super sensory oriented. And he just has some really big challenges that we've been trying to work in, like work in that space with him. And every single time he touches someone hurts someone, uses his hands in ways that he shouldn't to get what he wants, doesn't use his words, uses his behaviors, it's the same, like, see, you're not doing any, this is not,
because it, you feel like it's a reflection of you that you're not a good parent.
Yep.
Because, you know, and that is back to the messages, the way we were raised, especially for me, because in the church, it was like, your kids are a reflection of you as a parent. If you're a good parent, you'd have control over your kids and they would listen to you and do everything you say. So if your kid misbehaves or rebels or whatever, it is a reflection of you. You're not a good enough parent. You're not in control of your children. Therefore, you're failing.
Yeah.
It's that inner voice, those old beliefs that need to unwork. So that would be something that I would give you as like an assignment. That it'd be like, what is this old belief or a lie from your childhood that you believed? My child's behavior is a reflection of me, how good of a parent I am.
Yeah.
And then you challenge that and you're like, is this true?
Yeah, like, or I'm doing the same things over again. And I think a lot of like, the brain stuff has been a journey that I've been on in like the last year. I've been reading a lot of Kurt Thompson's books. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a Dan Siegel person, but talks a lot about neural pathways, neurotransmitters, the way, like even as infants, like in our mother's wombs, we're connected. And so the things that are happening to our mother's emotions and our mother's bodies and our mother's experiences when we're being grown are downloaded into us. And then like, even in the first few months of life, like you start to develop your attachment style as a tiny, tiny little person. And you start to understand, like your space in the world and how to attach to people. And that's, I think, a lot of the work that I'm having to do in myself so that I can do better for my kids. It's like learning that stuff, trying to figure out my own ways of thinking, reactivity, like neural pathways that have formed, and like trying to rewire my brain enough to the point where like it's new and different. And I can then help my kid, like specifically my oldest, because we were by far worse parent. Like we have learned a lot. And I see that with my second, and that should hopefully be hopeful to the other moms who listen. Like you learn as you go. And I pity the oldest kids because it really is just like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm doing the best that I can. And parents brushing up against all of their childhood stuff, whether it's trauma or just dysfunction, which is still traumatic, big T or little T, different, but there is pain and there are those things that bubble out with the oldest kids, and they do. I think it depends on how dysfunctional a home was growing up, but any oldest child is going to experience the like more failure in their parents, I think. And maybe that's wrong. More challenge from their parents as their parents come out of those really sometimes dark places. I mean, my husband, he grew up in a healthier home. I don't even know what that is, but a home that I think had more joy and more stability and more calm and more like, it's okay that you made a mistake. I love you no matter what. And he parents differently. Like, it's just easier. He gets dysregulated less often, and his dysregulation lasts for a shorter amount of time than mine every time almost, because he just is like a little bit more grounded.
Yeah. Can we like touch on that? Because I think, so there's our childhood experience that definitely contribute to how we react or respond with our kids, like hands down, like 100%. There's that. The other part that I want to touch on, you just mentioned that like I get dysregulated more easily and it lasts longer. So one part of the program that I teach is focusing on things you can do in your control to help you be more regulated and be less triggered. Okay. Yeah. And I'm sure you have noticed this. And like, because we talk like in therapy, I'm sure you've learned, especially with like parenting, gentle parenting, unmet needs. And I've always start out with my moms. It's like, are you getting enough sleep? And are you eating meals? And I'm sure you like, if you're a yoga instructor, I'm sure you like pay attention to that. But I want you to be aware of that when you do react and when you do get triggered with your kids, instead of going down the spiral like, oh, I'm a bad mom, I failed again, get curious, okay? When you, in the evening, when you reflect, take a journal and be like, I yelled at my kids today. I got dysregulated. I wanted to hit my child. I wonder why that happened to me. Mm-hmm. What was I feeling? What unmet needs did I have? Because it's very, very possible that you could have been just sleep deprived. Like they say, when you're sleep deprived, it's like as a equal as like being a drunk driver. It is literally like your brain cannot think clearly. It cannot make positive choices. It is like 1,000 times harder to gentle parent when you're sleep deprived.
You're impaired.
Yes. On top of that, oftentimes as moms, we take care of everyone else and we kind of like, we don't eat. We literally skip meals because we're just like going busy, 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 take care of everyone else. And then when you're hungry, you're hangry. You notice when you're driving and you're hungry and tired and somebody cuts you off, they piss you off way more than they would have. If you're well rested, if you just had a good meal.
Hydrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I feel that.
So that is like one thing.
Yeah.
That is super important. The other thing is like, made it attach with my moms. I don't know if you do this yet, but oftentimes we can what can contribute to us being more dysregulated or easily dysregulated is we're just too overstimulated.
Yeah.
We haven't had any time to just like ground ourselves and just calm and peace. And if you teach yoga, I'm sure you've like teach some of that being mindful and calm, but like oftentimes that is another thing. It's like our phone dings too much. We're pulled in this direction. We're doing this. There's just too much stimulation. And if you're highly sensitive like me, you get overstimulated even more quicker. And then that will contribute to like being more frustrated and agitated by your kids.
That is a huge one for me, even though I teach yoga. Like is still so challenging, especially in this culture, in this day and age. And I studied history and I studied theology. And like, I think it's pretty wild to look back over time and to be like, we are by far the busiest, most distracted, most like boss babe, you need to be it all the time society that has ever lived. Phones, TVs, driving everywhere, appointments, schedules, schools. Like, we are expected to be the homesteader, the bake all your bread, the like have a mini farm, have a job, homeschool your kids, like do everything, be it all. And
that's what pushes a lot of moms into reactive mode. It's not possible. I don't know about you, but do you have your phone notifications turned off?
I don't, and I need to do that because I overstimulate.
That will make a significant change for you. So when I learned this a few years ago, and I went into the phone settings and I turned off all notifications, no social media, nothing. Like my phone doesn't have any notifications unless somebody calls me. Okay. Unless my husband is the only one and my mom where their text message makes a noise and I hear it. The rest of the people is just absolute silence, nothing. Unless I open my phone, then I see that there's, somebody messaged me, but on my Instagram, even nothing. Unless I open the app, only then I see that there's a notification or a message. I do it when I'm ready, when I have the time for it. It's not pulling me away from my life. Okay. When we have those overstimulations, you're cooking dinner, your kid is needing you for something, and then you hear a ding on your phone and you're like, oh my gosh, I'll get to it. And then it's like, again, and you're like, crap, I have to check, because we're designed, right? It's created that way. So it distracts us from life. So that is what I want you to do today. Go into your settings, turn off all notifications, tell your family or whoever is important to you, if you need me, call me. My family knows. Typically, if it's an emergency, people will call you. They won't text you, right? And you're like, hey, if you really need me for something, give me a call, because all my notifications are turned off. Your phone needs to work for you, not against you. And right now it's possible that it's working against you and it's distracting you from life. You get overstimulated. It pushes you to be more triggered because you're already overwhelmed.
Absolutely. And it sucks time. It sucks time away from the people that I'm supposed to, from being present with myself, first off, so that I can be present for my family, for my kids.
Yes.
How many times do you go to the park and you see a mom sitting on a bench texting and her kids are just playing? And I often have been that mom. But when you see it, you realize wow, I just don't want to be that. I need to be more disciplined to put it away, to not even bring it. Why do I bring my phone to the grocery store? I've started to try to leave it places. Well,
I have my list of my phone. That's usually why I bring it to the store.
I know, I hear that. But I'm going to the park. Mm-hmm. People did this for thousands of years. They would take their kids places and they didn't have a phone and they lived.
Yes. And actually my husband's like, hey, why don't you get an Apple Watch so I can reach you whenever I need to? And I'm like, you know what? No.
Mm-mm. Don't want that.
I'm not. No, I just don't want it. I don't want it. I pick up 99% of the time when you call, and I already feel my phone is next to me often enough. It's going to be fine. And so that is the one thing that I would love for you to do today. And I think you will notice already significant change in how more present you'll be able to be with your kids. It's just one simple change that will make a huge impact. And then the other one that you said, that sometimes it's hard to be fully present and grounded because we're so busy. One of the things that helped me to create that is, I don't know about your schedule, but getting up a little bit earlier before my kids in the morning and using that time to do a practice that actually grounds you. So I used to sometimes get up early before my kids, but then I scroll on my phone. And actually that makes me even more frustrated and agitated than my kids. Our phone, we want to keep, it's so addicting. We want to keep going. It gives us dopamine rush. And then our kids come at us and they want something. Hey, mom, can you give me some snack? Give me a snack. And you're like, dude, get away from me.
Happy.
Yes. Yeah. Like, leave me alone. And it's our phones. Okay. So what I would encourage you, if you don't get up yet before your kids in the morning, depending on the schedule, depending on the season, your kids' ages and stuff like that. And I get up at least an hour before my kids. I have my coffee, I journal, and I almost always do a meditation in the morning, about 10 minutes long. Something that there's so many great ones. If you want to, I can send you mine that I have created. Yeah. Something that creates peace and calm, where you're truly relaxing your nervous system, that truly helps you feel grounded.
Right.
And so when your kids do enter and they wake up and they even have some needs, when you wake up, our stress hormone is at its highest. And if you wake up with your kids, you just jump into that day and you tend to be reactive really quickly. If your 10 is your max and you wake up, you're at 8, there's not much wiggle room. But if you wake up and you create some practices that truly support you and your mental well-being, and sometimes I like to do stretching or yoga. I'm not into high intensity stuff. That doesn't relax me. So like, yeah. I had to create practices that help me like bring my stress level to like a 2. And then my kids wake up and I have way more wiggle room and tolerance in between to like have things not go my way. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. And I've thought about this, and we have had mornings where we've been up and had coffee and hung out. Like my husband and I will get time to just chat and be together and connect. And those days, like when we set the tone, for the morning, and they come out and they feel felt, they like we are in our bodies and regulated. I think those mornings are different, and I do need to be more disciplined to like get up and set the tone for myself so that I can set the tone for my kids so that they can come out and not be met with like crazy, yes, overstimulated. Yes. I'm my brain's already reeling. And that is a big one because we can control that. That is something we can control.
100%. And that's the kind of stuff I teach in my program. And I keep you accountable. Like we focus on things that are in your control. It's not in your control if your child wakes up in a crabby mood, but it is in your control if you get up in the morning and you create a practice that helps you be centered and grounded and more regulated. It is in your control to turn off your phone notifications. It is in your control to turn off, to do app limits on your phone and have all your your social media turn off at 9 p.m. so you don't stay up scrolling too late. And so you do get better sleep. Those things are in your control, and that helps you show up as a more grounded and calm parent. And it's just easier than when you internally feel better, right? It is easier to show up as that mom that you desire to be. It's just easier to be less triggered. Okay, you might still get triggered by your kids' behaviors because of our old beliefs and patterns, but it's just easier to be calmer and grounded when your needs are met, when you're grounded, like when you're centered, it's just easier. Like I have found that in my practice. And one of the things that I know they teach a lot about, like deep breathing is one of like, when you feel triggered, do some deep breathing. What I can tell you with my own experience is that when I started that, it was really hard in the moment. Like I would get triggered by my kids and like all the deep breathing knowledge goes out the window. Like it literally just like, why? Because your part of the brain that helps you remember that gets shut off when you're triggered and you switch to your emotional part of the brain, which is reactive. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was, I noticed a significant change for me, and you can try this, but in the morning, when you do have your little morning like ritual, you could either, you know, if you're doing a meditation, but doing some deep breathing when you're doing that meditation. So your body's like recognizing, okay, deep breathing calls me and centers me. Like it is good for me. And it's like, it's helpful. So when I started doing that and in the morning before my kids got up as like a proactive thing, when I got triggered, like about 2 weeks in, I noticed that when I started to be triggered by my kids or like frustrated, overstimulated or whatever it was, I noticed that my body started to start deep breathing on its own without me trying to initiate it or like remind myself. And I caught myself taking some deep breaths and I'm like, well, what just happened? Like, I didn't even have to like tell myself to do that. It's because my body's like, okay, I know what you need.
This works.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it was just like, do I still mess up? Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm not perfect. Yeah. Do I still raise my voice? Yes. Do I freak out? Maybe once a month, I still have a moment like that where I like freak out. I'm not perfect. Nobody is. But a lot of the things that I do teach my mamas is doing things proactively to set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. So you're not working against yourself. Yes, you still have those old parenting things that, right? Like our experiences, our childhood that are working against you. But how can you make things easier for yourself so it's easier to implement the strategies, the new things you're learning? How can I support myself so it's easier for me to break those patterns? And like, I hope that makes sense to you.
It totally makes sense. And I was even thinking, like, I don't know what got me curious about it, but I was noticing that I was sighing a lot, just like like throughout the day, like little sighs, big sighs. So I was researching like sighing. And like, it is a, it regulates your nervous system, and your body has an automatic response to sigh that like calms your system down and like reattaches you to yourself. And so it's fascinating that just those little things humming, I'll notice my kids humming and was like starting to hum myself and realizing like this also can, like, I feel like practicing those things every day regularly to like get your body familiarized with like, you have this, this is something that will help you in a time of need, is really important. And I need to be doing them in the morning, mid-morning, lunch, after lunch, dinner, pre-bed, bed, like throughout the day, so that I'm storing it, because I think it's really easy to forget. Like, take a deep breath, sigh, hum, like connect with your nervous system a little bit here and bring it down.
Yeah. And like having, like, for me, it's like having a calming tune that I can sing. Mm-hmm. Actually, like going back to like when, so I learned all this when I already had 3 kids. So when I was pregnant with my 4th, I already knew all this. And I noticed like this change when I had my daughter, that I'm like, I had so much more skills and strategies that I knew what to do. So when she was like, you know, I'm sure you've learned about co-regulation, right? When your child is dysregulated, like at the young age, they don't know how to regulate their nervous system. They don't know how to calm down. It's your job to come alongside them and have them borrow that calm energy. But if you're struggling, how are you going to do that, right? You have to walk away, because like, otherwise you get even more triggered by them and then you react. Mm-hmm. So I had like some go-tos. I had my deep breathing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that was really helpful for me is to create, like, I have a song that I sing, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray." And it's like this calm and peaceful tune that I would sing to her when she would be like little and like super, you know, newborn. And if she would get all worked up. And so I would take some deep breaths and I would sing this tune, and it would calm me down and it would calm her down.
Yeah.
And so just having some of these, like you said, like humming is awesome and it's amazing. But also like when we would be driving in the car and she would start crying and I would get all like, you know, like it's great stress response in your body when you have a crying, screaming baby, right? And so like I would start singing that song and my boys would like pitch in and they would sing that song. And then she would calm down, because like I have created like this, you know, like a pattern, or I guess like a ritual or like whatever you call it, like
that. It's predictable.
It's predictable. She knows, like, yes, yes. And so now when I sing that song, it's like, it calms her down.
Yeah.
Like, and so like,
that's like such a big word for me right now. And sounds like you've really been practicing that for a while, but like, how do you be consistent in your own regulative things, and how do you be consistent with your discipline?
That's actually biggest reason why I created the one-on-one coaching, is so I can teach moms these things and then I can keep them accountable to stay consistent. Because like studies have shown that in order for us to, because this is habits, this is creating new habits, right? Yeah. And to create new habit, it's hard. It takes 21 days, but like in order for us to succeed with something new and a new habit, we are 90, I actually heard of 97% this week, but before that it was 90% more likely to succeed with a new habit or a learning skill that we've learned if we have support and accountability. Yeah. So like I do have a passive program that I teach all this and moms can buy, the ones that can't afford my one-on-one services. And like, it's awesome and great, but I want you to actually implement the things that I teach so you are able to stay consistent. That like my passion for moms is to just like, not just learn these things, but actually implement and transform.
Yeah.
Because that it is a struggle. Like, that's why like, I have so many things I've learned, but the ones that I implemented are the ones where I had support and accountability. That's where I showed up, because I knew I was going to be asked about it, right?
Like, well, it's just so different to have someone walking with you too, because they've done it. They know how it feels. They know how it looks. They know the challenge. And so I think that is huge to have someone who, you know, like they've done this before. I'm not alone. I'm not by myself.
Yeah. What helped me was that I, like, during this whole journey for about a year and a half, when I first started gentle parenting, I had a weekly counselor that I met with. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the coach, like, you know, like a coach like I am, but she was, because I was struggling parenting my third son, a friend of mine said, "Hey, why don't you go to counseling?" And I looked into it, and I was going to counseling every week. And then we went down to every other week. And then shortly after, I'm like, "Nope, I still need you every week." Mm-hmm. And and then COVID happened. And I honestly think that is the one thing that helped me stay sane during COVID, that weekly Zoom call with her, where I could share with her all the thoughts and all the mistakes that I made, and she could like keep me like help me pull myself out of that dark hole of feeling like a failure, like I screwed up my kids for life. She's like, she's like, we all make mistakes. It takes a lot of work to unlearn these patterns. Like, it's okay, you can repair, and like, what are we gonna do different next time? Like, it felt like we kept going in circles over and over again, in the sense of like, I kept messing up and repeating the same mistakes, but I was so passionate at like breaking these cycles. I'm like, I know I don't want to live the way I did with my kids. I don't want to do the threats. I don't want to like do the spanking anymore. Like, it just doesn't sit right with me. I want to break that, but it took a lot of
passion. I don't believe this anymore, but I don't have a different plan.
Exactly. And when you're triggered, when you feel so out of control, your brain goes to automatic. Absolutely. And here's the thing, I have not spanked my kids for a very long time. But I tell you what, when I still feel triggered and when I feel out of control, that threat, that verbal threat comes out. And then I'm like, crap. Like, it literally comes out.
Yes, we had this the other day because we don't spank either anymore. And it's been a couple of years, but my husband and my son were getting into it like 2 days ago. And my husband looked at him and said, "If you don't do whatever it was, I will spank you." And I said, I looked at him and I said, "You don't actually mean that. So you can't say it."
Yes.
Take it back. Find a different thing. Like, choose something else. We have to choose. And he was like, "Okay." So then he went back and he was like, "Hey, I won't spank you. But if you don't, then." So.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, yes.
It's wild. 2 years later, we're still.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out, but it comes out.
And it makes sense. It makes sense, right? Because you're either like, when you unpack why, you're either triggered a lot, you have unmet needs, and that trigger just is a lot more intense. You feel out of control. And part of us as humans, we want control back. And that threatening makes us feel in control as parents, right? And that is one of the reasons we like do it. And that's the reason our parents did that, because they felt out of control and they felt like their job is to control us. Like, because what are people going to say? I'm a bad parent, right? It's all those inner talks. So like, with like wrapping up our call today. So the things that I want you to walk away with is turning off your notifications. That is the easiest thing that's going to make a huge impact. The other thing is like looking at some of the old beliefs that you believed from when you were raised, like, my kid's behavior is a reflection of me as a mom. If my kids misbehave, that means I'm a bad mom. Is that true? No. What is my new belief? Like, my kid's behavior is not a reflection of me, of like how good of a mom I am. And then the other one is like, when you mess up, when you do make mistakes, creating a mantra or a phrase that you repeat to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a good mom who had a hard day. It's okay for me to make mistakes.
Yep.
When I calm down, I can repair.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, we all make mistakes, everybody. And if somebody pretends they're perfect, I promise you they're not. They're just freaking lying to you. Like, they are. Okay. So, I mean, there's a lot more that we can add to it. And I'm sure you took maybe more away from this call, but those are the few things that I want you to like take action on. And I want you to walk away to feel like, okay, I can do something today that is going to make a difference. Yeah.
Yep.
What is your biggest takeaway?
I think it will be really helpful to find a mantra I think that that will really help with the guilt and like with the beliefs, because I think one of my core beliefs is I can't fill in the blank. Like that can be a number of different things. I can't fix this. I can't do that. I can't start something new. I can't change.
This is hard and I can do this.
Yeah, I can.
Yes. Yeah.
I can repair when I, when I cause a rupture or when someone else does. Like I can be a part of the solution.
Yeah.
I can try again.
Hey, Mama, I hope you found this episode helpful and that you were able to take some valuable nuggets away. And if you have, please share it with another friend. And I will see you next time. Hi, friend. Did you learn something new or found value in this episode? If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with one Christian mama friend who has young kiddos and could benefit from this message? Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word and grow this podcast. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, would you please rate and review on Apple Podcasts so I know that this content is helpful and I can continue to create more episodes. This is really the only way for me to know that you are blessed by this podcast. I'll see you soon, my friend. God bless you.